Here we are in Matthew chapter 3 and beginning at verse 6 as we continue our series dealing with breakthrough. We've been talking over the last several weeks just about different aspects of our Christian walk. And so when you realize and you come to the revelation that say, hey, wait a minute, I need some changes. I'm going to have to let some stuff go. I'm going to have to rearrange some things in my life. How do you come to the point where you realize something needs to change? How do you experience breakthrough? Now, what is breakthrough? Breakthrough is when you have come to the understanding, I don't like where I am. And when you realize you don't like where you are, how do I go from here to there? How do you go to living your best life now? How do you do that? There are some things that the scripture talks about that we're studying right now that if you apply these things to your daily life, breakthrough can be experienced. So on Sunday, as we begun on Sunday, we talked about the first thing that any individual would have to embrace in their life is the understanding that something is broken. So we talked about repentance. Repentance does not mean you've sinned, right? So and understand the definition. Repentance does not mean you've sinned. Repentance means that there is something of a change of heart. It means a change of way of thinking. So anybody can repent, and you can repent for anything, but it doesn't necessarily mean sin was involved. It just means something has changed internally of how you've seen something, and now you're going in a different direction. The reason why a lot of people don't repent is because they really don't understand that they're in a bad situation. Have you ever had to go talk to a friend and you had to explain to your friend, hey, darling, you in a bad situation? And they said, no, it ain't that bad. No, this is really, really bad. No, it's really not that bad. And it don't happen all of the time. You know, it happens occasionally, but it's really not that bad. How do you convince somebody who's in a bad situation that they need to get out when they look at their bad situation as if they're in Disneyland? Sometimes you have to wait for some people, you have to wait for them to hit what? You have to wait for them to hit rock bottom for them to wake up and say, okay, you got to do something different. All right? So repentance or the acknowledgement is the first step to a breakthrough. It is rejecting where you are so you can get to a better state. Matter of fact, nobody can get to Jesus Christ unless they first acknowledge that where I am is no longer acceptable. Matter of fact, you almost got to get to the point where you hate where you are so that you can be motivated to get to another place. How many of you have been blessed by being fired? Anybody ever been blessed by being fired and they came to you and said, hey, listen, today, what happened to you mentally? You had to step back and say, okay, wait a minute. Well, and when you went on your next job interview and you asked for more money, but you didn't ask for more money at your current job because you had settled and you didn't realize you had settled. But when you got fired, you said you got fired. And then after you got fired, you said, you know what? I'm no longer dealing with this. I need these hours. And you came in demanding at their next. Notice your standard rose after rejection. Sometimes when you don't move, God forces the people around you to make you move. Your boss didn't even want to fire you, but God said, listen, I got something better for you, but you ain't gonna move. So since you're not gonna move, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tell Pharaoh, make it hard for you. Matter of fact, I'm gonna motivate Pharaoh so that you'll be excited to leave. Have anybody ever been in a house or an apartment or a duplex or whatever, and you told your landlord, hey, I need you to get this fixed, and I need you to fix this, and I need you to fix this. And then you came back 2 months later, hey, listen, I need you to fix this, and now I need you to fix this, 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 and this. And then you came back 2 months later, hey, listen, I need you to fix the place. And you got so frustrated, what are you now motivated to do? Somebody say you want to move? Yes. But if you notice, if you're comfortable, you stay where you are. You stay where you are. Have anybody ever been dumped? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. No, have anybody ever been dumped and had that conversation with you and say, hey, listen, this is not working out. This is not working out. We're having conflicts. And so this is not happening. And all of a sudden, you got new contacts. You lost 25 pounds. Your acne cleared up. You got that, you found a coupon for the teeth whitening, and now you just on shine wear. And so you found a gift certificate to Nordstrom's, and all of a sudden you just stepping in a, have you ever just noticed that sometimes rejection makes you better? You hate the rejection, but what you become afterwards. Have anybody ever been in a car and it just, you didn't know when it was going to start? Have anybody ever had one of them cars where you got in it and you said, click, 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 click. Okay, hold on, please, just. And people come out, hey, you good? Yeah, I'm good. I'm just checking some stuff. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no, all of y'all can leave. All of y'all can leave because I don't know if it's going to start. And has it ever started and you burnt out the parking lot? Let me get out of here. Let me get to where I'm going. Have anybody ever been driving and it died on the road? And you sitting in the road and people, and you just like, you know what? I'm going to get a better car. I'm tired. I live with these jumper cables in the back. I'm not doing this no more. And then you ain't got another car. Why did you get a brand new car? Because it kept breaking down. But if it didn't break down, you know what? You wouldn't pursue better. I wonder, does God destroy things, relationships, and opportunities so that he can see a better you? It took you going through darkness to now have a taste for him. And if you didn't go through darkness, then you bought a new Bible after the funeral. You started your study plan in the Word of God when your friends turned on you and stabbed you in the back. And your back was bleeding, and you found a way to pray. Isn't it funny that your highest spiritual times are after midnight? After the midnight hour, all of a sudden, you want the Lord. So you know what I want us to learn? I want God to stop snatching things from me to make me do better. And I want to internally desire greater because he's in me, not because of what I lost. not because of things that broke down, that I want to do better because God is in me. And it is an internal thing. It is not something, I don't need God to put external pressure on me to get me to stand up and move. Some of you right now, you have some sleepers that got holes in them. You got socks that got, it's on that last string at the back. You got socks that's, why won't you throw it away? You got that shirt that got that hole right there in the back. It's right. You got that shirt that has experienced all of your trouble. You know that shirt that experienced all of your hard time, and you still got it. Why won't you do better? Why won't you let it go? And you know what we have a hard time doing? We have a hard time separating. So this is what we're talking about, breakthrough. The Bible says in verse 6, well, actually in verse 5, they came to his baptism. Remember we talked about they came to John's baptism. He was baptizing all of those in Jerusalem and Judea and all around. When you get to verse 6 and were baptized of him in Jordan, they were confessing them sins. So people had come out of all of Jerusalem and the whole region about, and the Bible says they came to John, and everybody who had came to John to be baptized were all changing their mind. They were all, you know what's supposed to make us one as a church? The thing that's supposed to unify us and make us one is that we have all come to the understanding that we changed our mind on how we view the world. The problem is when you change your mind back and you're in the church, that's conflict. So we all see the world the same way. That's not good. God is. All right? That life, there's nothing good in that life. But there's life in Christ. The problem is when you get attracted again back to that life again, then all of a sudden there's no unity in here. Right? So with that, they were confessing their sins. Verse 7. The Bible says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees, Sadducees come to his baptism. Now notice this. They didn't say anything. The Bible says they just what? They just showed up. They didn't say anything to John. They just showed up. He saw them. He said, you're a generation of vipers who have warned you to flee from the what? Now notice what he's saying, which leads to our second point. Our first point is you have to acknowledge that there is something better for you. I want you to get all of this in your spirit. God has something better for you. Until you believe that, you will stay where you are. You will do what you're continually doing. You will accept whatever comes down your path. Somebody says, why is she your friend? Because she the first one that said hello. Do better. Hey, why are y'all together? How did y'all get together? Why are y'all together? Because it's a small town. Try get on the bus, get on a ferry or something. Find out what's going on. Don't accept, just because something is in the environment, just don't accept what just comes down your street. So you have to believe something is better. Anybody who comes to Christ has to, he that comes to Christ must what? Hebrews 11:6. He that comes to Christ must what? Y'all got to say it like you know the verse. Hebrews 11:6. He that comes to Christ must believe that he is, and that he is a reward. In order to come to Christ, I got to believe he going to reward me. that he got something for me that I don't have, and I'm coming to you, God. And Lord, I believe that when I come to you, I'm going to have something I never had before. I'm going to have a what? I'm going to have a reward. The Bible says you have to believe that God is a rewarder to those who pursue him. Right? So I come into Christianity with a high expectation, and I make room for the rewards of God. Oh, I'm getting something better. I'm getting something better than what I have. Some people will say, hey, you're doing too much. No. Somebody says, I'm not going to get my hopes up high just in case it doesn't come through. That's not belief. That's an agreement. That's a backup plan. I don't have a backup plan with God because God will never fail me, so I don't need plan B. He'll never fail me. Now, if you don't have enough faith, you're probably going to need to put a plan B together. But for those who are believers, you don't need a plan B because what? God never fails. So why do I need to develop and conjure up a plan B, C, D when there is God? Who will come through, however he's going to come through, but I know he'll never fail me. So the Bible says this. He says, I warned you to do what? If you look at the end of verse 7. I warned you to what? I warned you to run, to get away from where you are. But maybe the reason why you don't run is because you enjoy where you are. Have anybody ever had caviar? Has anybody ever tasted caviar? You've tasted caviar? Okay. For those of you who haven't tasted caviar, what are you missing? Hold on. If you've never tasted caviar, you don't know. It is fish eggs. But what are you missing? You don't know what you're missing. You know why? Because you've never had it. Now, the people who had it, they can make a personal decision. There are many people in the world who love them, who love caviar. You could be one of them. But you don't know. Because what? You've never had it. If somebody says, ugh, I don't like it. I've tasted it, I don't like it. Okay, well then you make your choice. I love ranch on spaghetti. And so if I have ranch on spaghetti and let's say I have spaghetti, chicken, and macaroni and cheese, I'll take the bottle and I'll go all over the spaghetti. Oh, long sound effect. We don't need the long sound effect. I'll go over the ranch and I'll go over the macaroni. If I have mashed potatoes with gravy, I'll make sure to show love over there as well. Okay? Now, why is that good to me? Because I've experienced it. Some of you are saying, ugh, that's nasty, but you've never experienced it. Now, you know what? You might still have the same reaction. You might still have the same reaction, but you don't know what you're missing because you've never tried it. Some people are just stuck. Anybody ever flown first class? Isn't it a nice experience? Anybody ever flown first class? You get in. The seats are a little bit what? A little bit bigger. The menu in first class is different than coach. Right? I don't know if it... Even the water tastes maybe just a little. I think they serve tap water in coach. They give they They get filtered in first. It's different in first class. It's different in first class. If you've never flown first class, what are you missing? You don't know. You know why you don't know? Because unless you experience it. Have anybody ever gone to a hotel and stayed in the penthouse? Have anybody ever stayed in the penthouse? Motel 6 is nice. It is what it is. They're not overselling it for Motel 6. They're not trying to oversell. They say, hey, this is what we provide, a room. You need a room real quick and a bed, there you go. We're not overselling. Don't look for anything else. Don't look for the bathtub with the swirl in. We're not trying to do all that. You sleepy? Hey, we got a light for you. We got a room for you, right? They don't oversell. But if you never stayed in a penthouse, it's a different what? Are these my robes? These robes are for, okay. Anything, what else? Okay. It's the amenities in the penthouse are different than the shampoo and conditioner at the La Quinta. You know, they got shampoo. They got this shampoo and conditioner. The amenities are different. What am I trying to say? Christianity is the symbol. It's supposed to be the image of believers who went from average to greatness. Not just spiritually, but in every aspect of our lives. But you cannot experience that breakthrough until you first start saying, I reject what I have. And I want better. And I'm not wrong for wanting better. I don't care if you even start small. You go to the grocery store, I don't want Mrs. Bear's bread. I want the bread, and I want to see you cut it. I want fresh bread. I want it fresh out of the, Kroger do it, I think. I want it fresh out of the, and I want to see you cut it. And I want you to put it in a special bag just for me. You know what? I'm going to start transitioning to do what God has called me to do in my life. I'm going to get out of this cubicle. I'm going to get out of this office. And I'm going to now start stepping into what God has. It's going to be scary, but you got to first reject where you are. Say, no, I can do better than this. I can do better than this. God has given me wisdom, knowledge. Have you ever looked at somebody and they were saying, hey, I'm, and you said, man, that would be nice to have. Why, do you think God cares whether you live in a 600 square foot or a 6,000 square foot? You think God cares about square footage? He can care less about square footage. You know, I'm not going to go over 800 square foot because I don't want to lose the grace of God. God's grace don't drop off at square footage. God could care less of whether or not you wear cotton or silk. It's not about being materialistic. You know what the sin is? Here's the sin. If you can do better, and God has given you the gifts to do better. If you could serve more, if you could bless more people, if you could study more and be a stronger Christian, if you could do more, and God has given you the ability to do more, don't let laziness kill what some people are dying for. And they say, you know what? If I had your health, I would do more. And you sitting with all that good health and you watch TV all day long. I'm not talking about material things. I'm saying if God has gifted us, then do better. Then do better. If you can afford some new shoes, then you don't have to walk around with holes in your shoes. And I'm not saying you got to go and buy some expensive, but if you can do better, then what? Then do better. You ain't got to walk around with crackers in your, wash your face. You can do better. So he says this. He says, flee from where you are. Look at verse 8. Bring therefore what? Meat for repentance. So we talked about that on Sunday. When a person changes, when a person repents, and let's say for the instance of sin, if a person repents, then there's a difference when we say saying I'm sorry versus I don't know, this is a side note. Did somebody turn on the AC? Did somebody turn on the heat? Somebody extra? Because I'm cooking, Sister Joanne. Sister Joanne, I'm up here cooking. So we said repentance. The definition of repentance means it has two legs to it. Y'all remember? Repentance has two legs to it. The first leg of repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of thinking about it. If you do something that's wrong and you say, God, I repent, what you're saying is that thing that was once attractive to me now is disgusting to me. I change the way I see it. All right? I change the way I see it. When a person decides to get on a diet, you can't get on a successful diet until you change the way you see food. And when somebody says, hey, you want some strawberry ice cream? You want some strawberry ice cream? With Snickers and Skittles and caramel? What's the response? The response is no, because you have to change the way you what? You say, I don't. Now, it tastes what? It tastes good. But even though it tastes good, it's hurting you somewhere else. So one leg of repentance is, if a person truly repents, they've changed the way they thought about it. Number two, the second leg of repentance is, there is an emotional response. So we talked about this on Sunday. Have you ever sinned and you didn't feel bad about the sin? If you've ever sinned and you never felt bad about the sin, something is horribly wrong. When you get in your car and you turn the key, what if nothing came on? Then what does that tell you? Something's wrong. When you sin, if you don't feel a heaviness, if you don't feel guilt, if you don't feel sorrow, then something's wrong inside of you. If it doesn't mess up your prayer, if it doesn't bother you throughout the day, matter of fact, if you sin, and then after you sin, you joke about the sin as if you had a good time, then something internally is wrong. He says, here, if you repent, you got to bring what? You got to bring fruit of repentance. True repentance is not only changing your mind about the thing that offends God, but it's also having an emotional response that I am truly sorry. God, I know it hurts you, and so it hurts me. And then you got to show some what? Then you got to show some fruit. And the fruit of repentance is, if I've stolen money from you, I not only change the way I think about stealing, that's the first leg, I should feel something because I took something from you, that's number two. And the fruit of repentance is, I give the money back. I give the money back. If somebody says, I don't like where I am, I want to do better. You don't like to experience the breakthrough, you have to first say, I change the way I see my state, and I now reject where I am. Number two, I now feel something. I no longer feel good about being where I am. And then number three, here is my plan that I put together to get out of this situation. Anybody that doesn't produce fruit, you don't really want better. Anybody says, God forgive me, I repent of my sins. Okay, you repented of your sins. Now the next thing you need to develop is a plan not to go there again. Praying to God for what you've done is only going to lead you back to the same thing again if you don't develop a plan. So, you know, I went out last night and, I did some things I wasn't supposed to do. So, church, I just want to say, you know, I repent of my sins and y'all forgive me. Now, you can't really see my heart, but do I look like I'm affected? Y'all said no. I gave you the sad face. If I give you the sad face, I was like, you know what, I'm sorry. And I repent of my sins. I acknowledge that it's not good, right? Number two, I do feel something. But number three, you know what question you should ask me if you're close to me? What's your plan? What's your plan not to do it? This coming weekend? Oh, I'm hanging out with my friends again. Didn't you just repent? Man, yeah, but I'm going to go again, but I'm going to just be strong and not do it again. That's not fleeing. You gotta create some fruit. And your fruit is, I need to be in the bed by 6 p.m. His friends laugh at him. But if he would discipline himself to be in the bed at 6, his family would love him. She said, you know what? I only go to McDonald's, Sonic, to get drinks. That's my only places that I can go. Somebody said, well, just come out with us tonight. You can get some orange juice. Listen. I only go to McDonald's and Sonic to get drinks. But if you ask me to get drinks, I don't go anywhere else. Her friends laugh at her. Girl, what's wrong with you? Why can't you go? Well, you strong. You know what? Don't believe people when they say, we'll protect you. We'll make sure you won't do it. Because all it takes is what? How long does it take how many seconds does it take to take a drink? How many seconds? You don't need 10 seconds. How long does it take to get high? How many puffs? Come on, ex-Gentile. Come on, Gentiles. How many puffs does it take? So let me explain something to you about the devil and about temptation. If I was gonna smoke, drink, lie, have sex, and curse, do you know I can do all of that in less than 5 minutes? Did you know that? Do you know it takes no amount of time to sin? Like, it just takes seconds. In less than a minute. To be intimate, how long does that take? I ain't talking about completion. I'm talking about... Some of y'all just... We got different gifts in here. Just everybody's got the same gift. How long does it take? If we adults and we can speak, how long does it take? It takes nothing. It takes seconds. There's 365 days in a year. You can be faithful to God for 364 days. It takes a few seconds to fall. Don't tell me you don't need the Lord every second, every hour of every day. You can be strong for all of 2019. On December 30th, on December 31st, you can have a bad day and fall. Then what do you say? You say, man, I was so strong all year long. Do you know how many no's that you have to say every year to be strong? But you know what people talk about you? People don't talk about you for all the no's you said. They talk about you for the one time you said yes. So he says this, you gotta produce a plan to do better. Don't just get up and say, I'ma do better. What's your what? How many books are you gonna read? What's your new schedule? How many job applications are you gonna fill out a day now? Now that you're gonna do better, what's your plan to travel the world? Hey, if you're gonna go back to school, then how many grants are you gonna apply? How many scholarships are you gonna, like, what's your new plan? But you can't keep doing what? Somebody said, I'm tired of sinning. I wanna be better. I wanna be clean. I wanna be pure. I wanna be holy. I want God to be pleased with me. Okay, that's great. Tell me your new schedule. So I want to share a few scriptures with you, and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 6 Actually, let's begin at verse 16. And the scripture reads, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the what? As God hath said, I will dwell in them. You are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my what? Verse 17. Because of verse 16, because of what God wants to do in your life in verse 16, then verse 17 says, I need you to come out from what? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and then I will what? I will receive you. Now, in verse 16, he's saying, I want to live in you and dwell in you, and I want to be your God, and we will be together. But he says, in order for us to be together in verse 16, you got to separate yourself from anything that's holding you back. You got to separate yourself from anyone who's holding you back. Your environment determines your altitude. Your connections determine how fast you run. We'll cover back this a little bit on Sunday. If you very quickly turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 16. I want you to get these verses in your spirit. Numbers chapter 16, verse 20. Numbers chapter 16. Verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 20. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 21. He says to do what? He says, separate yourselves from among this congregation. The children of Israel had sinned and offended God. God still wanted to use Moses. But he said, wait a minute, Moses. I'm finna get these people. I need you to what? I need you to get away from them. Because what I'm about to do to them, I'm about to get rid of them. So I need you to move so I can do what I need to do with them, that I may consume them in a what? He said, let me get rid of them people real quick. Verse 22. And they fell on their faces. They said, oh God, they start worshiping. Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and will you be wroth with the whole congregation? They said, wait a minute. It was just that person. You gonna get rid of all of us for that? Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to this congregation and say, get you up from among the tabernacle, go to Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and he went. I want you to skip down to verse 28. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them in mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord have not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass that as he has made an end of the speaking of these words, that the ground did what? He said, listen, God trying to get us separate from these individuals. So he says, if what I'm saying is true, this is what is about to happen. God finna open up the ground and consume them quickly and get them out of here. The Bible says he had not even finished speaking and the ground started moving. God says, separate yourselves so that I can consume the bad quickly. What is God doing in your life to get you away from bad things? And you think you're going to endure and be strong and say, nah, and you sticking it out. Be careful of who you're loyal to. Sometimes you can be loyal to somebody God is trying to get away from you. And you so loyal. You know what? Be careful of pacts that you make with people. Hey, listen, I don't care what we go through. Hey, I'm going to be here. I got you. Be careful. Because the very person that you made a pact with is the very thing that's tearing you down. Very quickly, I want you to go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. A man that is a heretic after the first and so some of y'all, this King James Version. So let me put in another version. After I tell you the first and after the second time, I'm only going to tell you twice. That's what the scripture is saying. I'm going to tell you twice. So I'm going to tell you once, hey, you need to get your stuff together. After the second time I tell you, you need to get your stuff together, what am I doing? What's the last word in that verse?
Reject.
Reject that person. See, the person that is a heretic, and you've given them two warnings. You know what the Bible is teaching us? Everybody can't stay with you. Matter of fact, the Bible is even teaching you on how to reject. Hey, listen, you need to get, I don't like your tone. Check your tone when you're talking to me. Hey, listen, it's my second time I'm telling you. You need to check your tone. All right. Okay. Then what comes after that? Rejection. The reason why this is biblical, because what did we say at the beginning? Rejection makes you what? Some people don't do better until they're rejected. So the reason why we practice disfellowship, because it actually makes the body better. Because if we accepted all sin and every behavior and we just say, hey, well, that's just how that person is, and you know, that's how, nobody gets better. So one of the things that we practice is rejection. Not only to preserve you, but also it makes the person better. Verse 11, knowing that he that is such a subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. If a person is going down, the scripture says, don't go down with them. Separate yourself. Hey, they're not going in a good direction. Go ahead and separate yourself. Last scripture that I want you to go to is Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, in verse 17. Now I beg you, brethren, mark them which do what? Real quick. How you mark somebody? How you mark somebody? Anybody know what a highlighter is? What you supposed to do with a highlighter? So the thing with a highlighter is, for those of you who don't know, you take the top off. And you're supposed to go over the thing that you want to highlight. The Bible says here, people that are of a certain nature, highlight them. Highlight them, mark them, identify them. Don't, matter of fact, don't let them be in the mix and you don't know who they are. Does anybody in here, do you know who your enemies are? Does everybody, do you know who your enemies are? If I brought in a group of people in here and just lined them up here in the front, would you be able to identify your enemies? If it was a lineup, would you be able to say that one right there? That one in the red. That one right there. Would you be able to identify? Would you be able to see who they are? Here's what the Bible is saying. Identify spirits that don't walk with God. Identify them. Mark them. And then he says them, which cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And then the Bible says, after you have identified them, you need to do what? I don't know if anybody has been taught. We really do need to teach a class in this in the church. It is biblical. Some of you don't know how to avoid. Now, some of you are great at avoiding. Some of you are great at avoiding people. But we probably need to teach a class on how to avoid people. The Bible says, find out who they are and then mark them and then what? Avoid them. Well, one way to avoid, you see somebody come. Have anybody ever done this? I've seen church members do this all the time in the grocery store when they see the preacher. I just want to see what's in your cart. I just want to see, hold on, just check what's in your cart and get them chips. The Bible says avoid them. Steer away from them. Don't go near them. Your success as a Christian depends on what you disconnect from. Some of us are trying to have breakthroughs with the wrong crowd. If I want to be a doctor, and I'm going to close. If I want to be a doctor, but all my friends are lawyers, I'm going to have a problem. If I want to go, if I want to go and start a business, but all my friends are drug dealers, I'm going to have a hard time. If I want to be pure, if I want to be pure, but everybody I hang around ain't trying to live that life, then I promise you, you ain't gonna make it. Wherever you wanna go and whatever you wanna accomplish, you gotta find like people who are trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do. And don't be afraid to have the conversation, I don't think we're going in the same direction. And you're a great person. You're a wonderful person. Matter of fact, I enjoy your company. But I don't think we're going in the same direction. Because if you want to be great in any area, you're going to need to go to that area to be great. You will not be a great track athlete hanging out at Brahms. Nobody who is great at running track hangs out at Brahms. And if that's your spot, then you're going to need to what? You're going to need to change. I want to lay this truth to you, and then we'll close. There are different levels of Christians. There are different levels of Christians. Sometimes, if you want to be a stronger Christian, you got to leave certain other groups of Christians behind. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about sin. So these group of Christians, it's not to say that they're doing anything wrong. But if you want a closer relationship with Christ, sometimes you got to leave certain groups, even sometimes within the church. Because everybody that's in the church is not necessarily desiring what you're desiring from Christ. And you think because they're a Christian and they hold the title that they can necessarily be in your circle. And I'm saying, dig deeper. As you go throughout the rest of this week, is there anything that you're holding on to? I like to make this statement. Are you willing to give up the things that are not a sin in order to become a better Christian? It's not even a sin, but because you're connected to it, because you hold on to it, it's actually keeping you closer from being close to God. That thing that you're praying for and that thing that you want, somebody says, I want to be a good Christian man. I got to find other good Christian men to be around or I'm in trouble. Somebody says, you know what? This is the type of Christian woman that I want to be. Then let me look at your friends. Nah, you ain't gonna make it. Now with Keisha and them, you're not gonna. I can tell by your environment and the people you hang around of where you're going. I could tell by where you're going. When I decided to really get into the ministry, I had to have different conversations with my father. Because when I wasn't really interested in the ministry, I wasn't going to ask him any of those questions. I don't know about that. I don't care about them books. I'm trying to do other stuff. But when I got serious, all of a sudden, I found myself in his library. He would come in my library. He said, hey, that's my book. I said, is that your book? And you know what I started doing? I started making phone calls. I started cold calling. Preachers that didn't even know me, I said, hey, listen, I know you don't know me, but if you got a few minutes, I would like to talk to you. It was an older preacher in Atlanta. Matter of fact, old enough to be my grandfather. Older preacher in Atlanta, I called and I said, hey, listen, I just got a few questions that I want to ask. And I just want to know if you would talk. He said, yeah. We talked for hours on the phone. And he said this at the end. He said, you call me anytime. I have people that are in my circle. I can't hang out with them like friends. Generation gap. I don't know what to say after the Bible. Just a generation. But why are they in my circle? Because if I'm going to be better, I've got to find people who are there. The type of Christian man you want to be and the type of Christian woman you want to be. Sometimes what you're looking for may not even be at this address. May not even be at this address. But you're going to have to go search. And you're going to have to build your circle. That way, I can tell by who you talk to, who you connect with, and who you're around. You know what? It's hard for anybody to hang around me and my father and you cuss. Because how we going to look, Daddy? Excuse me. We will look at each other like, you must not know us. Anybody who hangs out with me, you going to gain weight. That's going to happen. Like, whatever plans that you had to do, whether like, we finna go eat. I'm gonna sneak a rib somewhere around here. Like, there's some people that if you want to think lustful, just call them, and they'll feed your mind. And when you get off, you ain't gonna even be able to pray when you go to bed. Oh Jesus, that's not that. None of that was good. Separate yourself. Come out from among it and them. And whatever you want to be, find it and connect with it. Anybody who's on that path, you get on that path with them. They may not look like you. They may not talk like you. They may not even do the things. They may not eat like you or do it. Matter of fact, they may be in a whole different sphere, but run over there. Some people have blessed my life so spiritually, and there was nothing else about them while we would even be in the same room. But God had given them something that I needed. And because they had a hunger for God, like I had a hunger for God, all the other walls that separate us moved away. And when you see somebody hanging out and their friends are Asian and Hispanic, tall, short, business people and entrepreneurs, and they got all of these different people that's a person who understands my environment and my connections determine my altitude. Sometimes you repent, and you have to repent to God, not because so much of what you do. You're having to repent to God because of what you're connected to keeps bringing you down. And you trying to be stronger while stay connected. I'm saying prefer to be alone and holy than be in the crowd and be in sin every day. I would rather cry and be lonely and stare at the wall all day long and be right with God than to be in the crowd and I'm still not what God wants me to be. If you're here on this evening, if there's anything that you need to let go, anything that you need to disconnect from, if there's any conversations that you need to have, if you begin to realize I'm in the wrong environment, I got the wrong people, I do not have the crew that I need to get to where I'm going, I'm saying make changes right now. If you want to experience a breakthrough, you got to have a different environment. You need to have different people around you. If you don't have anybody in your life that challenges you spiritually, you need to find a whole nother crew. If you have somebody, if nobody in your environment asks how you're doing spiritually, you're in a bad place. If nobody forces you to pray more and study more and run after God, we can't get better if nobody is challenging us to fly with the eagles. If there's anything that you need to let go, change, transform, then you gotta first reject where you are, be disgusted with it, and run after better, and believe that God will reward you if you diligently seek Him. You have the opportunity to come to Christ, but you gotta be willing to let go. If you'll be willing to do that, then everything can begin to change. This invitation is given to you. Let's stand and sing.
I want.